Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers, and $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Welcome to a special edition of Legal AF. I've been trying to get this particular person, this personality, this commentator, this leader of his generation. Boy, am I really building him up here for a long, long time. I've known Adam Mockler since the beginning, since he joined the Midas Touch world, and I did too. We've talked offline. We've done things together for his channel. But now I've got the opportunity, and I think at a perfect moment in time, with the reigniting of the Epstein scandal, which is blown back up into Donald Trump's face. They opened the door to Congress and the oxygen has just ignited this scandal. We've got new emails. No, I don't mean the data dump that the Trumpers did to try to distract from the three key emails that put a lie to Donald Trump's version of his relationship with Jeffrey Epstein and with girls, that type of thing. We've got that reporting. We got all new stuff about Ghislaine Maxwell and why she lied during her testimony to Todd Blanche, although I don't think the Department of Justice cared whether she lied or not. And lots of other things related to her all have come to the fore in the last few minutes. And I said, you know what? We got to get Adam Mockler on here for his unique voice. He's a Gen Z commentator on the Midas Touch Network, and he runs a channel. Like we run a channel here. He's got the Adam Mockler channel. Let's put these two worlds together. Adam Mockler.
Thank you for the kind words. Thank you for the shout out. I've learned a lot from your legal analysis, especially over the Trump trials. Especially as I was getting into this space, I was looking up to your analysis a lot. But I definitely do want to talk about Epstein, because over the past 24 to 48 hours, everything that Elon Musk said a few months back about Trump being in the Epstein files is manifesting, and it's not looking too good. Not looking too good for Trump.
And not just him, right, Adam? We'll get to the, because, you know, some people might be joining the story already in progress. Yep. Three new emails get released, and they were selected by the Bipartisan Oversight Committee. And they are exchanges primarily, we'll put aside the Michael Wolff journalist ones, but they are exchanges primarily between Jeffrey Epstein, his girlfriend / co-conspirator in child sex trafficking and business partner, Ghislaine Maxwell, when they never thought these things would see the light of day. This is fly on the wall stuff right here. They never thought that the hard drive would be subject to a subpoena 14 years later and have all the documents turned over to people that care about these things. So they're chit-chatting about Donald Trump's involvement with girls inside of Jeffrey Epstein's house, reinforcing things that Michael Wolff, the journalist, has said for years. What did you talk about the emails, and how do you fit them in to this puzzle of linking Donald Trump to the document cover-up issue?
On a really broad scale, I've seen right-wing conspiracy theorists come up with conspiracies for less, for much, much less. They'll have no evidence whatsoever of Hillary Clinton doing anything, and they'll have these intricate conspiracy theories. But the moment that we have actual emails between Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell, the two people who are like the most prominent sex traffickers in America of the past few decades, conservatives have their eyes closed. I just did a video about Megyn Kelly, and she was trying to you know, point out the nuances between pedophilia and ephebophilia. She was like, you know, technically this wouldn't make them pedophile. This is Megyn Kelly on her show. These people are, you know, a bit in over their heads with what they're about to start defending. I think that during Trump's first term, Jeffrey Epstein had a scary amount of leverage before he was arrested. And you see that in the emails. They're discussing the leverage that Jeffrey Epstein potentially has. In one of the emails, Jeffrey Epstein, they're essentially talking about how if Donald Trump says he has nothing to do with Epstein, that gives Epstein more leverage because he knows that he was at the house and on the plane. Or if Trump wins, that could give them even more leverage because they held back. They didn't actually release things. So I think that it's interesting. And I want to hear what these conspiracy theorists have to say about this now that it's right in front of us.
Well, to your, there's so much there to unpack, and we're actually going to read to the, and show the emails up on the screen. But to your point, of MAGA World's head exploding in unison. I don't know if you caught the clip. We'll play it here in a moment. Of Carolyn Leavitt, the chief propagandist for the Trump administration as press secretary, who actually said, oh, we know who the girl is in the email that spent hours inside with Donald Trump in the Epstein house. Oh, that's Virginia Joffrey, who took her own life recently after being sexually abused by Epstein and others. And we're okay with that because she later said in a book that Donald Trump didn't do anything towards her. So you're okay with Donald Trump spending hours alone in Jeffrey Epstein's house. How does the fact that you know the identity of the person clear him of any wrongdoing here? I don't get it. Let me play the clip, though, Adam, for our audience so they know what I'm talking about.
Did the president ever spend hours at Jeffrey Epstein's house with a victim?
These emails prove absolutely nothing other than the fact that President Trump did nothing wrong. And what President Trump has always said is that he was from Palm Beach and so was Jeffrey Epstein. Jeffrey Epstein was a member at Mar-a-Lago until President Trump kicked him out because Jeffrey Epstein was a pedophile and he was a creep. And this email you refer to with the name of a victim that was unredacted now and has since been reported on in this room, so I will go ahead and say it, Virginia Guffrey. And it was CBS's own reporting, Ouija, that recently wrote that Ms. Guffrey maintained, and God rest her soul, that she maintained that there was nothing inappropriate she ever witnessed, that President Trump was always extremely professional and friendly to her. And so I think it's a question worth asking the Democrat Party, and you should all go ask them after this briefing, of why they chose to redact that name of a victim who has already publicly made statements about her relationship with Jeffrey Epstein is unfortunately no longer with us.
Okay, I don't see both on what you pointed out by MAGA World and here the press secretary as they scramble to try to solve this equation. I don't get how this helps them get them out from under the cover-up by Donald Trump of the Epstein files.
They're spinning hard, and the entire timeline is mind-boggling. Even if you want to go back to the early 2000s or the late 90s when Jeffrey Epstein was grooming girls out of the Mar-a-Lago spa. And Virginia was one of the girls that was groomed by Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell. And Donald Trump knew about it. He reportedly knew about it. And then I believe after this happened, Donald Trump was still quoted saying that Jeffrey Epstein likes girls on the younger side. So we knew that he knew. But now Jeffrey Epstein, at least the late Jeffrey Epstein, in an email is confirming what we knew all along. And I just think that overall, as we get deeper and deeper into this, we're going to see more and more involvement on the Trump side. I think we're only seeing like the beginning of these emails, the beginning of the email dump.
So just before we get to the emails, let me just, this is what's happened in the last 72 hours. David Schuster comes out with new reporting that MAGA House of Representative members, which we have to presume includes Boebert, Mace, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Massey, were briefed by the Department of Justice about the Epstein files and were told that they are much worse for Donald Trump than previously that we previously thought. That's one data point. Second data point, you have the Trump administration taking female House of Representative members who have admitted to have been sexually abused in the past and shoving them into the Situation Room, like Lauren Boebert, to sit in the hot chair, to be grilled by Pam Bondi, Kash Patel, and others to try to get their name, their signature off of the discharge petition, which could ultimately lead to the release of the Epstein files. So they're abusing female House of Representative members about the Epstein files, right? And right. So just take those two data points and tell me what your reporting is showing about that.
Yeah, well, really quickly as well, we have about a month after the discharge petition hit 218 votes. We have about a month until the next vote happens, and it seems like the floodgates are entirely open. So there was a video yesterday of Republican Representative Don Bacon saying directly that he was going to vote yes to release the Epstein files. And I think a dozen other Republicans are now tampering with the idea of voting yes to release the Epstein files. And then it has to go to the Senate, I believe, as well. So who knows? But throughout this, we're getting all of these emails. I think that Donald Trump's incredible scramble, like the full court press he was putting on these four Republicans, especially Lauren Boebert, to not release any of these files is indicative of something deeper. Listen, like 2 years ago, to be 100% honest, I was rather agnostic about how deep Donald Trump was involved. I knew that he was friends with Epstein. I knew that he was covering stuff up, but I didn't know how guilty this guy was. And we still don't know for sure, but every single time he steps in front of a camera, every single time him and his DOJ and his FBI try to pull people in and grill them and get them not to vote on the discharge petition, it makes me all the more, you know, skeptical. And going back to the timeline, after the Virginia Giuffre breeze, after Donald Trump then praised Jeffrey Epstein and sent him weird letters with like pubes written on them, signed as a signature, then Jeffrey Epstein got this sweetheart deal. Donald Trump still apparently mingled with him. Now, remember, Pam Bondi said like less than a year ago in February that she has the Epstein files on her desk. Then after Elon Musk said Donald Trump is in
the Epstein, by the way, file, couldn't possibly be true given the volume of the Epstein files. But I get the metaphorical point.
It was a lie. It was an absolute lie. They were weaponizing, or they were trying to use this to stir up votes. And then Elon Musk, I think, is also kind of bullshitting when he says Donald Trump is in the Epstein files. He's doing this shit for attention. Of course. But all of this means they're being hoisted by their own petard of using the Epstein files as a political piece. And now Donald Trump is getting absolute smacked by all of the files coming out. So it's not looking good for them. Yeah.
No. And then we've got the reporting. Andrew Kaczynski of CNN reposted two tweets by J.D. Vance. J.D. Vance is always good for trying to find a way to F Donald Trump by accident by bringing up his old comments or tweets. So in 2021, before he knew he was going to be vice president, he reposts a column about Jeffrey Epstein and says the Jeffrey Epstein case is why people believe in Pizzagate, and that he thinks about that article about once a month. That's one. And then in a follow-up tweet, he writes, remember, this is J.D. Vance, by the way, remember when we learned that our wealthiest and most powerful people were connected to a guy who ran a literal child sex trafficking ring? And then that guy died mysteriously in jail, and now we just don't talk about it? Yes, JD, we are talking about it. And we're talking about the fact that Donald Trump's name is lousy all over those files. He was briefed on that in May. The files were reviewed in March, scrubbed top to bottom by the FBI round the clock. He's then briefed in May by Pam Bondi, and then starts the, we're never going to release the entirety of the Epstein files, ever, despite prior promises that he would. Now we're getting, some people might be wondering, where are these emails coming from that Popak and Mockler keep talking about? Yeah, they're coming from other sources, because it's not just the pile. People were on the other end of those emails. So there is an estate of Jeffrey Epstein, just an administrative estate. They've got the hard drives, they've got the drives, they've got the computers, they got the laptops, and they responded to the subpoena of the Oversight Committee. Let's get to the emails. We've teased it long enough. Here's the three emails that came out yesterday that have all exploded in Donald Trump's face. The one you referred to first, Adam, this is again kibitzing between Epstein and his girlfriend, co-conspirator Maxwell, in 2011, when they never thought these would see the light of day. I want you to realize, Epstein writes Maxwell, that the dog that hasn't barked is Trump. Victim blank spent hours at my house with him, Trump. He has never once been mentioned. Police chief, etc. I'm 75% there. Criminal investigation going on. Police chief mentioned. And Carolyn Levette thinks she's helping Donald Trump by saying, oh, we know who the victim who's been redacted to protect her identity is. That's, and then she outs her, Virginia Giuffre. And that's okay that they spent hours in Epstein's house alone, because Virginia Giuffre said Donald Trump never did anything to her. How does this help them?
Yeah, you know it's bad too. If you go deeper in those emails, you see the disdain that even Epstein has for Donald Trump, which I think says a lot about Trump. Some of them, in one of them he says in 2018, quote, I know how dirty Donald is. And some of them he calls him evil. It seems like Epstein quite literally, I mean, remember, they were really good friends back in the early 2000s, late 90s, like really, really good friends, because they lived near each other in Palm Beach. And I think that he knows Donald Trump more than most other people. And the disdain he showed during Donald Trump's rise to political power is indicative of, I don't know, a really dark person inside Donald Trump, if even Epstein is saying that.
Absolutely. And Michael Wolff, who we'll talk about in a moment, knows that firsthand. And the one, this back and forth with Michael Wolff, who was writing a book and spent a lot of time with Jeffrey Epstein, including looking at pictures, according to Michael Wolff, of young girls sitting on, or women sitting on Donald Trump's lap, that he actually saw with his own eyes. Here's another one that I don't think there's any other way to read it than what you and I are going to kick around here. Victim blacked out, Mar-a-Lago. So we orient ourselves here. This is a January 31st, 2019 email. Trump said he asked me to resign. Never a member. Of course, he knew about the girls as he asked Ghislaine to stop. Okay, let's back up. Donald Trump has spent a considerable amount of effort and spilled a lot of ink trying to convince the American people that as soon as he found out at some point that Epstein was a quote unquote creep, I guess that means child sex trafficker, raping girls, that he banned him from Mar-a-Lago. Now, we all know the fallout had to do with a $40 million land deal in Palm Beach over a piece of property that Donald Trump coveted and that Epstein bid up in an auction at the courthouse steps. And then he never forgave him. Trump never forgave Epstein for making him pay more for this piece of waterfront property. It has nothing to do with knowing that he was a child sex trafficker, which begs the question, if you knew he was a child sex trafficker, why didn't you go to the police? Why didn't you help? Why didn't you report? So he says, so Donald Trump likes to tell people, I fired him from Mar-a-Lago. Epstein now tells Wolf, I was never a member of Mar-a-Lago, but he knew about the girls, not women, not young girls. Because he asked Ghislaine to stop. Now, what does that have to refer to? That Ghislaine was using Mar-a-Lago as a predator hunting ground for girls to bring back to Epstein for quote-unquote massages that turned into rape. How else can you interpret that, Adam?
There's no other way to interpret it. Donald Trump absolutely knew that Ghislaine Maxwell was grooming girls through the Mar-a-Lago spa, and it's disgusting. Now, this is... It's insane to me that the president of the United States has even spent the past few months on Air Force One having to deny these allegations. Like when you were saying it out loud, like now he's denied it. It's crazy if it, even if it happened or not, it's insane to me that Donald Trump is having to use political space, political capital, trying to thwart these investigations, trying to thwart the release of any of these files. It's despicable, but something that I've been saying for a while is Donald Trump doesn't understand power dynamics, or if he understands them, he has no problem abusing any sort of power dynamics. He is somebody who has been in a position of power his entire life, and whether it's him owning beauty pageants and walking in on the girls in those beauty pageants, or whether it's him grabbing women by the you-know-what, or it's him using the office to cover up, like quite literally cover up previous allegations, he doesn't understand power dynamics. And I think this is just another example of that.
And absolutely. And we'll put up here so people remember the video of a younger Donald Trump, a younger Jeffrey Epstein, guffawing and poking each other in the ribs and pointing what we now know was young girls that were in from a football game for the Dolphin Stadium who were dancing in front of them at Mar-a-Lago and them saying some sort of snickering comments to each other. That was, in a microcosm, the relationship between Donald Trump and Jeffrey Epstein. Michael Wolff, who's been on Legal AF and on Court of History frequently, and is actually going to be up later today, talking about the email that has been released with him, giving some quote-unquote advice to Jeffrey Epstein, but as you said, shows more about the relationship between Epstein and Trump. He has said that they had everything in common. Models, wealthy people, homes, business associates. They ran in the same circles. They dated the same people. He's made comments about Melania Trump. He had to sue Melania Trump. I'm talking about Michael Wolff in New York court recently to cut her off at the pass on a defamation case. He feels that strongly about his journalism, about his reporting. Let me just read to you so I can get here at the end of our time together. Let me just read to you the last one that you referred to earlier. This is Michael Wolff, an exchange between Michael Wolff, the journalist, and Jeffrey Epstein. Remember, he's writing a book about Jeffrey Epstein, but becomes kind of close to him. I don't mean that in a relationship standpoint, but certainly as a reporter. And this is December 16th of 2015 exchange when Donald Trump is now running for president. Michael Wolff writes to Epstein, I hear CNN is planning to ask Trump tonight about his relationship with you, either on air or in a scrum afterwards. And Epstein's like, well, how would you craft an answer for him? In other words, what do you think will happen during that interview? And Wolff says, I think you should let him hang himself. If he, Trump, says he hasn't been on the plane, Epstein's plane, or to the house, then that gives you a valuable PR and political currency because Michael Wolff knows and Epstein knows he's been at the house and he's been on the plane. You can hang him in a way that potentially generates a positive benefit for you, because this is now the part that people find a little bit unsavory because Epstein's already been convicted and here you have some advice giving on PR, but it is what it is. If it really looks like he could win, you could save him generating a debt. Of course, it is possible that when asked, he'll say Jeffrey's a great guy and has gotten a raw deal and is a victim of political correctness, which is to be outlawed in a Trump regime. How did you interpret that exchange?
Yeah, a few things. First of all, when you look at the leverage that Epstein had over Trump, as they're talking about in that email, even the conspiracy theory stuff aside, like, again, if I were a conspiracy theorist on the right, or conspiracy theorists on the right who have tried to point out pedophilia allegations on the left, should be absolutely like mind blown that it was happening on their side. But even that aside, when you look at the leverage that Epstein had over Trump and what ended up happening, you start to wonder if that has something to do with the treatment of Ghislaine Maxwell over the past few months. Ghislaine Maxwell has been treated uniquely favorably, not only in this new prison, but ever since her interview with Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche, who is Trump's personal lawyer. So, I mean, there's an interesting parallel between the treatment of these people and the leverage that they had over Donald Trump, in my opinion.
I agree. I mean, we are now, think about this. You were saying, I can't believe that a president of the United States has to waste valuable political currency on Air Force One to talk about his role in a child sex trafficking ring or cover-up. But think about this. I mean, now that we've gone there, we have a president who needs to have his credibility vouched for by a convicted child sex trafficker.
And even that interview was undermined by Todd Blanche himself. He was like, well, if we would have known. Yeah, so his credibility is even double undermined by that.
But think how low you must have sunk that you need a child sex trafficker to write a letter of recommendation for you.
Yeah, Ted Bundy also probably would have said Trump. Trump didn't do anything bad.
Right. You could just see Donald Trump. Jeffrey Dahmer thought the world of me.
Yeah.
Great. But look, all kidding aside, there are survivors of this scandal that are still standing tall. Representative Adelita Grijalva, who I think you interviewed, I know I interviewed recently, has been sworn in. She's the 218th signature for the discharge petition. They need more to vote on the House floor. I don't think it needs to go to the Senate, frankly. They need more, though, to get to the House floor to get those files released and put pressure on the presidency. He keeps spoon-feeding the American people all of this make-weight stuff. We want to see the files, all the things that have your name on it. That's what the American people are demanding. And, you know, I think Donald Trump is, do you think he's surprised that having kept the government shut for 40 plus days and having starving Americans, that the Epstein scandal roared back into existence?
I don't know. I don't think he knows what's hitting him. First of all, he was melting down about affordability, which is going to come back to bite him even harder. Remember after Zohran won, literally like over a week ago, Donald Trump the next few days was rambling and yapping about affordability like he had just learned what the word was. And now I don't think he expected the Epstein storm to pop back up. So it's like 2 5-alarm fires that he has to put out. We're also maybe going to war with Venezuela. We've been on the verge for a few weeks, so that could be a distraction. I don't know what he's going to do, but honestly, I think we're going to get some Mad Kings type stuff, like some mad dictator. Like, he is going to be increasingly cognitively declined while multiple 5-alarm fires that he created need to be put out, while the pedophile allegations plus the affordability stuff rages into the midterms. And I don't think he has the political savviness to fix it. I mean,
or the stamina, or the psychological stamina.
He's good on the campaign trail. He's good at selling himself sometimes, if I want to be as charitable as possible. He's good on the campaign trail, but when he's governing, what is Pete Hegseth and Kristi Noem, these people are going to step up to the plate? I don't think so, no.
Well, absolutely. And as you know well, there's an old adage, you campaign in poetry, but you govern in prose. And it's easy to say, oh, I got my ear in Butler, Pennsylvania, and I'm a rich guy and in crypto, and vote for me, golden bathrooms. It's another thing to actually have people suffer under your economic policies, have people see that you are completely heartless when it comes to the shutdown and what it's doing to veterans, disabled people, children and babies. Say a lot about America and the divide in our politics, but universally, we want a president with a heart. And if it's a heartless president, we normally, and I don't see any reason why it would change now, run them out on a rail.
Yeah, and that's a Mario Cuomo quote. I remember Zoran quoted that during his acceptance speech, really heartless. It's really funny quoting your opponent's father in such a brutal way.
So
but, yeah, but I enjoyed this and we should chat more.
Absolutely. I want to see Adam Mockler on Legal AF on a more regular basis. You bring a unique point of view. You don't just represent Gen Z. You are an accomplished commentator in your own right. You're ageless. You're timeless, Adam.
Thank you. We'll get you on the Adam Mockler show as well. And we'll do some legal debates. You'll own some legal Trump supporters.
It'll be a lot of fun. You're great. For those that don't know Adam Mockler, go watch his interviews. Go watch his debates. Go see him. If you think the late Charlie Kirk was known for a certain type of debating style, wait till you see Adam Mockler. So proud to have you with us here on the Midas Touch Network and on Legal AF. For those now that are like, wow, look at this guy, I want to know more about him, go down to the notes below. You'll get the links to go to the Adam Mockler YouTube channel and all the other work he does around Midas, including hosting a number of live events that we've done on the Midas Touch Network around the country, where you've been the host, bringing in all the Democrats, going right into red country, red states, holding all. You got anything coming up that you want to talk about?
No, we've got a Jubilee 1v20 in a few months where I'm in the center. But other than that, we're just going to keep steady-handed, scaling, growing, and I'm excited. I'm very happy to be under the same network as you. I think that 2026 is going to be our year. We're going to continue to grow. I'm sure we'll see each other at some in-person events. We are going to win back the House and win our democracy back. It's going to be great.
I agree with you. It's the only way to return a balance of power and checks and balance and oversight to an out-of-control, lawless president. People are like, what do we do? You make sure you vote. You go out and vote. We'll take care of the court side. You take care of the crowd courage and voting side, and good things will come out the other end, don't you think?
Yep. I think that there's a lot of methods to have your voice heard in a democracy. And right now, it's time to energize. Like right now, all of those methods are manifesting in people door knocking at uniquely high rates. People on the left organizing. You saw Zoran Mamdani's campaign. They had 90,000 volunteers. Abigail Spanberger's campaign was roaring and ripping. People are winning in Georgia. There are statewide elections in Georgia that we won. So the momentum is on our side. And I think that it's only going to get worse for Trump. Like this Epstein stuff is sticking. Not much sticks to Donald Trump. Not much has stuck to him throughout his political career, but this is undeniable and it breaks through to the average person. I think affordability and Epstein are two really, really important. Those are the two issues.
Absolutely. I mean, the kitchen table politics, which are the bread and butter, no pun intended, of the Democratic Party. Zoran's campaign showed that, Spanberger, Mikey Sherrill. We have to focus on affordability, on it's the economy, stupid. And Donald Trump's given us a gift. It's a terrible gift. It's a shitty gift, but a gift of a terrible economy that's crushing the hopes and dreams of Americans in every generation. And the polls are showing that. Adam Mockler of Adam Mockler's YouTube channel and Midas Touch. So honored to have you here with us. Can't wait to see you again. Take a moment. You're on Legal AF. Hit the free subscribe button. Come over to Legal AF Substack. Do the exact same thing and search for Adam Mockler wherever you can find him and help support what he's doing as well. Till my next report, I'm Michael Popak. Can't get your fill of Legal AF? Me neither. That's why we formed the Legal AF Substack. Every time we mention something in a hot take, whether it's a court filing or a oral argument, come over to the Substack. You'll find the court filing and the oral argument there, including a daily roundup that I do called, wait for it, Morning AF. What else? All the other contributors from Legal AF are there as well. We got some new reporting. We got interviews. We got ad-free versions of the podcast and hot takes. Where? Legal AF. F on Substack. Come over now to free subscribe.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.